So what do you do when everything you worked for, everything you've built, is suddenly taken away in the blink of an eye? I mean, for most of us in here, the storm has been an irritation. How many of you still don't have power? How many of you in here still don't have power? About half of us. And so that's an irritation. Over the last 4 weeks, I have helped 5 different families trash out everything that they owned in their home. Nothing prepares you for that. And there's not anything to prepare you for that. I watched a family yesterday cry together because they were realizing that all the memories they had in their house since they've owned it are now just memories, as they watched 3 feet of water in their house and all of their furniture floating around their house. And so today, how do you begin to pick up the pieces? Like, there are so many questions that we ask in the wake of a hurricane that we didn't even take the brunt of it. Last week, I stood up here and I said, we're going to pray for dissipation. I'm not praying that the storm would move. I'm just praying that it would start to dissipate. And I thank God that it did, because I know that we did not experience the storm surge that we thought we would, and even people south of us did not experience the storm surge that they thought they would. But there is still a lot of devastation. For some of us, the loss is more than property. Here's the bigger thing. We have lost normalcy, haven't we? Things aren't normal right now. And when you lose normalcy, like showers and gas, like today, I was like praying. I'm like, okay, Lord, I've got to keep this generator going or there could be chaos in my house. For our daughter who needs things to be as normal as they can be. And I was like, I need gas. I already drained our boat of all the gas that it had. And literally, I pulled out on our main road on 92, and literally the one gas station around us, the lights were on, and they had gas. And I was like, what? just gas. Like, we think about, like, man, you don't realize the little things. And so here today, we're going to grieve a little. I know that there are families in here, sitting in here today, who pulled out stuff out of their house when their house flooded, and now they're homeless. And they're here worshiping today, but we're going to grieve with them today, and we're going to comfort others today. I want you to know how proud I am of you guys. For some of you, just watching Facebook posts and different things on social media, whether the church actually asked you to go or not, you just were there, even if it was in your own neighborhood. And I believe this, that here's the deal. We come to church on Sunday and we worship. And I told somebody on the way in, I was like, what we do in here is a show. What you do out there is for real. And when you go out and you love people and you serve people like Jesus, then you're the church. A lot of people say, we go to church. Great. But are we the church? And I just want to commend you and say, you have been the church over the last month. And I just say, yay God for you guys. I love you guys. And I'm so proud of what you've been doing. So today we're going to talk about how do we deal with this. There are two groups of people in here. How many of you had a hot shower last night or this morning? Good. So that's a group of people. How many of you are dreaming of a hot shower soon? Ah, yes, we are. And so there are two groups of people. Some of you who have been significantly impacted by this, who are still being impacted by this, and others who have not been impacted. And so what do both of those groups do? And I want to talk to both of those groups. Like, Mike and them, if you're looking for notes, I don't have any. I changed everything, like, last night. So this probably isn't even going to be great, but it's going to be what God told me to say, so I'm just going to do it. But I want to talk to people who have been impacted personally, because some of you have, and how do you deal with it when devastation impacts you personally? And I think the first thing you have to do is you just have to acknowledge that it's painful. It's painful to lose stuff. It's painful to be without stuff. That pain is very real. And you have to acknowledge the pain. And trying to be dismissive about the pain is literally you're just faking it, and that pain's going to come out one way or another. So we just got to let it go, and we got to release it. Because Psalm 34, 18 says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So when you hurt and you acknowledge the hurt, that's when God moves closer to you. Because that's when we're being most honest about our feelings and how we're feeling about what's going on in our life. And it's okay to say, God, this sucks. This is not what I had planned. This isn't fun. Trying to find a new place to live when the market is saturated and there's no places to find rent. Like, that's what I'm finding from a lot of people who are trying to find short-term rentals to get their houses redone. So what do we do? I want you to know that when Jesus was in pain, I want to remind you of something. When Jesus was in the most painful season of his life, the most painful opportunity that he had in his life, I want to draw your attention to what he did. In Matthew chapter 27, this is literally when he's hanging on the cross, agonizing for what everything that's going on. And here's what he did. He cried out to his Father. And he said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you feel abandoned right now, you're not any different than what Jesus did at a certain season in his own life. But what he did was, when he felt those things, he said something to the person who would listen and who could do something about it. So you got to acknowledge that there's loss, that there's pain. You can't bottle up your emotions. How many of you are emotion stuffers? How many of you stuff your emotions? How many of you are stuffers? Yeah. I guess it's like, and this is, I love it, because you do this humble brag. You're like, I just don't want to bother anybody with my stuff. You know, it's like, and I'm like, that's a humble brag. Because at some point in time, it's going to spew out on somebody. Like, you're going to just let it go. So you need to find somebody that you can be as honest as you need to be and say, this is really bad right now. And for some of you, like, I know that some of us are going, man, you know, I'm only dealing with the fact that I don't have power. Okay, fine. Some people are dealing with the fact that they don't have a home. So you're right. There are levels. Anthony and I were talking on the phone today, and I don't know why. I guess when you live on a row with like six houses, we don't have a neighborhood like Facebook page. But when you live in a neighborhood like his, there's a neighborhood Facebook page. Maybe there's one in like South Tampa and stuff. But he said, the people in our neighborhood, they suck. He said, they're complaining about the stupidest things in the world. They're complaining about the linemen. They're complaining about this. He's like, shut up. I just want to tell them to shut up. Like, it's going to be okay. Because there are some people who literally, like, they're trying to figure out how they're going to make it over the next 6 months to a year when they're trying to rebuild a whole house. One of our elders, Dan Register, his house flooded for the second time in a month. The second time in a month. Like, we had just cut the drywall out so they could start to rebuild. And he's like, oh, that's not happening. Second time in a month. The house I was at in Brooksville yesterday, they're in a no-flood zone, and they have 3 feet of water in their house. They're not in a flood zone. 3 feet of water in their house. That's where I'm going back today. So we have to acknowledge that there is hurt. The second thing, you've got to cling to the hope of restoration. Like, restoration can happen, and it will happen. God promises that. God is the God of restoration, and restoration is coming. It's coming. And the wonderful thing is, The restoration that we need more than anything else is the restoration of our soul, and that's already been provided for us. And so many of us are so worried about the restoration of our home that we forget that what if in the process of disaster, God's trying to restore our soul? What if that's his primary goal? Is that we have been so clinging to stuff that we forgot about him. And he wants to restore our souls first and foremost. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not for disaster, plans for a hope and a future. And you say, well, there is disaster going on. Yeah, but the disaster isn't permanent. The disaster leads to a restoration that God actually provides. In Jeremiah 29, this is actually God talking to the children of Israel, and they were in exile at the time, far from home, devastated, and yet God reminded them that despite their present circumstances, despite where they found themselves, he had a plan for them. And maybe wherever you find yourselves right now, God has a plan for you. In the middle of the storm, it's not the end of the story. This is a chapter in your story. It's not the end of your story. It's a chapter of your story. And I wonder if this chapter in Relevant Story is a chapter where we become the church for our city. And we become a place where people go, I need hope and I need help. And we become the people that provide that. Isaiah 61 says, to all who mourn in Israel, he gave a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. I don't know about you, but I have seen a lot of oak trees take a dive this past week. Lots of oak trees. And he says, I'm going to plant a new tree. Out of the despair of our lives, he's going to plant something new. Here's something else, though. What if God, in the middle of disaster, in the middle of despair, he wants us to find strength in the community that we have? How many of you are loners by nature? You do it alone. When you need somebody to help you, this is what God calls the church for. This is what God calls community to. And so many times, we don't know how to reach out for help. Because like, well, there's somebody in more need than me. Maybe. But maybe, just maybe, there are people who couldn't do some of the big projects, but they could help out with a small project at your house. And by you not letting them, you don't allow the community to be the community. And I just say, tell people. Tell people. Not everybody can wield a chainsaw. Not everybody can cut out drywall and help. Not everybody can do that. But do you know what? Everybody, and I will say this, young and old can pick up sticks. Young and old. You got an 8-year-old, they can pick up sticks. And so I just say this, be the community in your community. Be the community of faith in your own community and find strength in that. Galatians 6:2 tells us, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Do you know what the law of Christ is? You know what the law of Christ is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. And Jesus is the one who established that. And he said this, we're supposed to share each other's burdens. And when we do that, we're honoring God. So if you need help, reach out to your church family. I will say this. We are not professional restoration experts. But I can tear crap up with the best of them. So if you need something demoed, I can demo crap, man. I'm good at smashing stuff, breaking stuff, yanking stuff out. Like, I'll tear stuff up. I'm not supposed to tear stuff up. So be cautious when you ask me to come. Because when you ask me to come to your house, let's throw it all away. Let's go. Some of y'all have been needing to purge for years. And God said, I'm sending a hurricane named Milton, and y'all gonna purge whether you want to or not. And so here's the deal. But like, there are some things that, like, I can cut trees down, but there are some trees that it's too dangerous for us to do. Okay, so know that if we say no, it's not because we don't want to, it's because we go, we're not qualified to do something of that magnitude. And so I want to be always cautious to make sure that we don't put somebody, because I have watched people wield chainsaws in a crazy manner. Myself being one of those people and having to be told, slow down, Sparky, you're going to cut your leg off or something. I'm like, okay, you're right. I need to slow down. So, you know, ask for help. Today, I want to encourage you. I want you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and I'm going to give you a couple projects. Some of you came wearing your work clothes. For some of you, it felt really awkward to come to church dressed like that. For others of us, we had nothing else to wear, so that's why we came dressed like this. But there are some projects that I want us to accomplish today. Some of you know Miss Jean Claire. She has been a member here at Relevant for years. And this is Miss Jean. She is an elderly widow, and we're supposed to help those people. And she's the one who says, I got a lot of stuff down in my yard, but I don't need any help. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then finally, she told Pastor Tim, she said, okay, Pastor Tim, maybe I do need a little help. And I said, well, we'll be there today. So I need a team of people to go to Miss Jean's house and help her clean up her yard. She's in her 70s. You know, a lady like that shouldn't be out there helping, cleaning up her yard. I've got a home in Brooksville of Bob and Tam Thorne. Bobby and Tammy helped us start the church. Her dad helped us do our first rehab project right before he died. Did all the electrical work. On the first rehab we ever did at Relevant Church, her dad was there. And they live in Brooksville, and their house is just completely flooded out. We're going to carpool up there because you have to have a four-wheel drive to get to back to where they are. It's hard to get into their neighborhood. Like, you have to drive through another neighborhood and through a field, and then you can get to their house now. But Anthony and I both have four-wheel drives. We're going to drive up there to Brooksville. I've already got some men, preferably, and I'm not saying women. If you don't mind trudging through water, then you're welcome to come with us. But there is water. It's probably about knee-deep now inside of their house, but we're going to try to get the stuff out of their house so they don't have to deal with that later. And so if you want to help us with that project, that's great. I will say this. Pastor Eric has been serving other people all week, and he has a gigantic tree down in his own house. Not in his house, but in his front yard. And he's got limbs everywhere. And so he's going to need some help over at his house today. And I know that Pastor Tim is trying to coordinate if there are other things. Like, if you've got people that need help, we want to help you. And we want to try to create, because I believe this, today is the day we become the hands and feet of Jesus. Like, most of us aren't working today. So if we're not working today, why not serve today? That's why we canceled our second service. I'm like, I am not going to treat today like, oh, it's business as usual. Let's just have church and pretend like nothing happened. That's a lie, because it's happened. So let's go be the church. And when somebody asks you, you're like, well, now we canceled our second service so we could come out and serve you, because we wanted to let you know that you're loved, and that you're loved, and Jesus loves you, and he cares about you. That's why Matthew 25 says this, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. When we care for the needs and serve the needs of others, we are most like Jesus. So offer your time and your resources. How many of you have had people staying at your house that don't live at your house this week? That's being Jesus. That's being Jesus. Now, people came to my house thinking that we were going to be safe, and then we weren't. So, but it's been awesome. Like, we have been, like, my dad is like, man, Paul, it smells like the fair out here, because I've been cooking smash burgers on the Blackstone. Because that's all you can cook on. And so he's like, it smells like the fair. Maybe we should do this more often. I was like, maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. 9 people in my house with no electricity just doesn't feel like it's a great idea. But it's like, you just do what you got to do. And it is, you make it. And I want to end with 2 things. What have you been grateful for this week? You see, in the middle of devastation, most of the time we forget what we have to be grateful for. Because we want to complain about all the stuff that we don't have right now, but what do you have that others don't have? I will tell you this, for as much inconvenience that we are experiencing right now, when I compare it to what I have experienced in the Dominican Republic with our friends and our brothers and sisters there, it's an inconvenience. But it's not devastation. It's an inconvenience. And so I think that we need to learn how to be grateful. And I would encourage you with this. Every day, I want to encourage you this week to wake up, and I want you to take notes. I want you to write something down that you are grateful for. I was driving up to Brooksville, and I was like, I need gas. I need diesel. Like, I need diesel. I've got to find it. And like, there's nobody has it around here. And I literally missed my turn where I was supposed to turn, and I drove past where I was supposed to turn, and there was a little gas station on the right-hand side. And I went, the diesel pump's not wrapped up. I'm going to pull in. I pull in, and I walk inside. I was like, you don't by any chance have diesel? He goes, yeah, we got diesel. We don't have anything else, but we got diesel. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm in the middle of nowhere. And guys are like, no, you needed diesel, so I provided it. I made you miss a turn so you can get, and I had to write it down. I said, God, thanks. You saw the need and you met the need. Today, I was like, God, I need some gas for the generator. He goes, boop, that's the one around your corner. By the way, it's got gas. I got it. Like, write down the little things. Maybe somebody brought you food. Maybe a neighbor brought you food over because they had power and you didn't have power. Write them down. 1 Thessalonians says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. Thankful. Be thankful for what God has done. I know that for some of you, you've lost everything. And you know what you're grateful for? That somebody noticed that you lost everything and they hugged your neck and said, I'm sorry. I don't know what this is like. I think that's the tough thing, is when you go into somebody's house and you realize that you don't have any like emotional attachment to their stuff, and so you're kind of taking stuff out quickly, but like to them, every single thing that you take out, it meant something to them. They remembered something from that. Yesterday, as I was cleaning my friend's house out, I saw a picture of her mom and dad who had both passed on the wall, and I said, she's going to want that. We gotta take that down. Those things matter. Sometimes it's just the little things to be thankful for. But every day this week, write down, say, God, thank you for this. It will change your perspective. Because I promise you, probably by the end of the week, all of us will have power again. We'll be taking hot showers, or you'll be lazing in your hot bathtub. If you're a bathtub kind of person, you'll be like, I'm never getting out of here again. Like, it's just what you'll be doing. But lastly, I want to encourage us, let's move forward in faith. I love what the writer of Hebrews says this, let's hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I do believe that the day of his return is drawing near. And so here's the day. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing another song, but here's what I want us to do before then. I want us to stand up. I want you to stand up. I want you to like, you're going to have to probably scoot together, because I want you to grab hands with the person next to you. And so grab hands across the aisle. If you got to grab hands across the aisle, we're going to pray. Because it's in these times that we have to be the church. And the person that you're holding hands next to, you may not know them and you may not know what they're dealing with or what they're experiencing right now, but it matters that you're here. It matters that you're holding hands with them and you're going to pray a prayer of blessing over them and for them. And so I want to pray, and I want you to pray silently for the person to your right and to your left. And if you're not connected to somebody because you're on a disconnected joint, then pretend like the person behind you is connected to you or something, or try to connect somehow. But I want you to pray for the person to your right and to your left silently and say, God, whatever they need, I want you to provide it for them. God, help me to be a vessel that can provide hope and healing for them in this season. And then commit yourself to say, God, I am going to be a person that you can use during this time. Whatever you want to do with me, God, through me, I want you to use me. So let's pray. As I pray, I want you to pray. God, we're asking that you'd help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Today, this week, this month, this year. God, maybe this series you decide is, it truly fits this. Because we have to decide. We have to pre-decide whether or not we want to be a blessing to somebody else. And God, a lot of us are choosing to get uncomfortable today. Because it's not comfortable. Like dealing with somebody else's pain when we have pain of our own. But God, this is what you've called us to today. And so God, we just ask, would you help us to be the church? Let's not just talk about church, but God, let us truly be the church today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.